We got to talking one evening over at the store about the sun and the moon. You see, they had the subject over to the Lyceum one evening resolved that the sun does more good than the moon. And they thrashed it out that and nigh on to 10 o'clock. And so some of the men there in the store took sides one way and some another. Kyle Haskins said, of course, the sun did more good than the moon, because the sun was in the center of everything. He said that the world and the moon and the stars and comets and meteors and the whole business all sailed round the sun every day. And he got an egg and told Ab Tolliver to hold it, and he took a lemon in one hand and a potato in the other and showed them just how the universe operated. But as Judson, he said that any fool could see with his own eyes that the sun riz in the east and sot in the west, but where in thunder it went to in the night, he didn't know. Might come back over, ready to start again the next morning, or it might ground on t'other side. Jock Sullivan said he bet a dollar his boy could figure it out by algebra. Eben Button said if the earth got to moving round and tipping up edgeways to jiggle the Atlantic Ocean, so it'd flop all over everything, like enough to put the sun out altogether. And the moon and the stars would like enough to be all washed away. Just then Jim Sanders came in and wanted to know what all the talk was about. I told him that we was continuing the discussion they had over to the Lyceum as to which did the most good, the sun or the moon. And he said, of course, the moon did more good than the sun, for the moon shone the night when it was dark, and the sun shone right in the daytime when it didn't need it. Then Garl Mastin spoke up, and Garl said the one none of them got it right. He said he seen an astronomy book once as how most of the stars was twice as big as the sun, only they was quite a ways off, and the sun was considerable bigger than the whole world. Just then Pete Pepper jumped up and said, well, gosh, all hemlock, what does Pineville amount to anyway, I'd like to know. Why, if this world should get lost, there wouldn't nobody notice it. Heavens and earth to speak. I'm going home. Good night. But just then Elder Belker, the Baptist minister, came in after his mail, and Sile called him over and asked him how it was about this sun-moon business, and he straightened it out for us well as he could, but land sakes, we did feel put small, at least I did, to think of all them planets and solar systems and zodiacs and meridians and constellations. And what seemed the hardest to see through was there wasn't no end to anything. When you'd got clean out to the edge, you'd just begun. All the men were pretty quiet when we went home that night. Now I tell you, I couldn't help thinking that every one of us was just like that man in Pollock's Course of Time that I used to read in school. A man there was, and many other such you might have met, who never had a dozen thoughts in all his life, but told them all, each in his accustomed place, from morn till night, from youth till hoary age. Well, I guess it's some like old Sylvester Boynton used to say, there's a good deal to everything,